Now on radio.lds.org, the Mormon Channel presents Q&A.
Welcome to another edition of the Mormon Channel's Q&A, Questions and Answers. We ask you to provide us with questions, and we do our very best to answer those questions. So, if you've been thinking about something, you've had something on your mind, or you'd like to ask a question of the Mormon Channel, you can send us an email anytime, 24/7. Our email address is radio@ldschurch.org. We received a question that says, quote, "What is the Holy Spirit of promise, and what is its role in the gospel?" Close quote. It's a great question. The Holy Spirit of promise is another name for the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the third member of the Godhead. He's a personage of spirit without a body of flesh and bones. He's often referred to as the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, or the Comforter. The Holy Ghost, in perfect unity with Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, fulfills several roles to help us live righteously and receive the blessings of the gospel. He, quote, "witnesses of the Father and of the Son," close quote. That from 2 Nephi chapter 31, verse 18. He reveals and teaches, quote, "the truth of all things," close quote. That from Moroni chapter 10, verse 5. We can receive a sure testimony of Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ only by the power of the Holy Ghost. His communication to our spirit carries far more certainty than any communication we can receive through our natural senses. As we strive to stay on the path that leads to eternal life, the Holy Ghost can guide us in our decisions and protect us from physical and spiritual danger. From the October 1996 General Conference, Elder Dallin H. Oaks talks about the roles of the Spirit.
The Bible tells us that when the Savior gave his final instructions to his disciples, he promised that he would send them the Comforter. Earlier, he had taught them the mission of this Comforter, which is otherwise referred to as the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, or simply the Spirit. That Comforter dwells in us. He teaches us all things and brings all things to our remembrance. He guides us into truth and shows us things to come. He testifies of the Son. The Bible also teaches that the Savior and his servants will baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I will speak of the meaning of that teaching later. The Bible's teachings about the Holy Ghost are reaffirmed and elaborated in the Book of Mormon and in modern revelations. The Holy Ghost is the means by which God inspires and reveals his will to his children. The Holy Ghost bears record of the Father and of the Son. He enlightens our minds and fills us with joy. By the power of the Holy Ghost, we may know the truth of all things. By his power, we may have the mysteries of God unfolded to us, all things which are expedient. The Holy Ghost shows us what we should do. We teach the gospel as we are directed by the Holy Ghost, which carries our words into the hearts of those we teach.
That's Elder Dallin H. Oaks. As members of the church, we are recipients of the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's a major difference between the influence of the Holy Ghost, which can be felt by all, and the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is received by baptized members of the church. Elder Joseph B. Worthen in the April 2003 General Conference gives us the difference between the influence and gift of the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost is a personage of spirit, a separate and distinct member of the Godhead. He is a witness or testator of the power of God, the divinity of Christ, and the truth of the restored gospel. Many throughout history in all nations have sought diligently to commune with the heavens and gain the light of the gospel truth. They have felt this influence of the Holy Ghost confirm the truth of the gospel. The prophet Joseph Smith explained, "There is a difference between the Holy Ghost and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Cornelius received the Holy Ghost before he was baptized, which was the convincing power of God unto him of the truth of the gospel. But he could not receive the gift of the Holy Ghost until after he was baptized. Had he not taken this ordinance upon him, the Holy Ghost, which convinced him of the truth of God, would have left him. The gift of the Holy Ghost, which is the right to receive the Holy Ghost as a constant companion, is obtained only upon condition of faith in Christ, repentance, baptism by immersion, and the laying on of hands by authorized servants endowed with the Melchizedek priesthood. It is a most precious gift, available only to worthy members of the Lord's Church.
That's Elder Joseph B. Worthlin. Following baptism, receiving the Holy Ghost is the next vital step on the road back to the Lord's presence. In fact, without the baptism of fire receiving the Holy Ghost, the baptism of water is of no effect. Regarding this point, the prophet Joseph Smith said, quote, "You might as well baptize a bag of sand as a man, if not done in view of the remission of sins and getting the Holy Ghost. Baptism by water is but half a baptism, and is good for nothing without the other half, that is, baptism of the Holy Ghost," close quote. Once we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Lord expects us to actively seek after the blessings of that gift. The Spirit can, and in the end, must act as a key figure in our spiritual development. This quest has been the standard among the true followers of God, and it remains applicable today. In the October 2010 General Conference, Elder David A. Bednar talks about seeking the Spirit.
The Holy Ghost is the messenger for the Father and the Son, and the teacher of and guide to all truth. Thus, by the power of the Holy Ghost, we may know the truth of all things. The knowledge and spiritual conviction we receive from the Holy Ghost are the result of revelation. Seeking for and obtaining these blessings require a sincere heart, real intent, and faith in Christ.
That's Elder David A. Bednar. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A, Questions and Answers. If you have a question for the Mormon Channel and you would like us to answer that question, just send us an email, radio@ldschurch.org. We received a question that says, quote, "What is the Holy Spirit of promise and what is its role in the gospel?" Close quote. First, we should desire, yearn for, and seek for the companionship of the Holy Ghost. You and I can learn a great lesson about righteous desires from the faithful disciples of the Master described in the Book of Mormon. 3 Nephi chapter 19, verse 6 and 9 says, quote, "And the 12 did teach the multitude, and behold, they did cause that the multitude should kneel down upon the face of the earth and should pray unto the Father in the name of Jesus. And they did pray for that which they most desired, and they desired that the Holy Ghost should be given unto them," close quote. Do we likewise remember to pray earnestly and consistently for that which we most desire, even the Holy Ghost? Or do we become distracted by the cares of the world and the routine of daily living and take for granted or even neglect this most valuable of all gifts? Receiving the Holy Ghost starts with our sincere and constant desire for His companionship in our lives. Just as the Savior's many names individually indicate much about His nature and purpose, so do the names of the Holy Ghost. The Comforter speaks of His ability to bless us when we are in need of emotional or spiritual comfort. The Spirit of Truth speaks to the Spirit's responsibility to teach and testify of truth. The effects of both of these examples can be felt by those touched by the influence of the Spirit and recipients of the gift of the Holy Ghost alike. Some blessings of the Spirit, however, deal specifically with the gift of the Holy Ghost and are reserved for righteous members of the church who seek after them. One of these is the Spirit's role as the Holy Spirit of promise. With the modern restoration of saving ordinances, the Lord established a pattern to assure that all priesthood ordinances are done correctly. Elder Bruce R. McConkie spoke of the Holy Spirit of promise in the following manner. He said, quote, "The Holy Spirit of promise is the Holy Spirit promised the saints, or in other words, the Holy Ghost. This name title is used in connection with the sealing and ratifying power of the Holy Ghost. That is, the power given to him to ratify and approve the righteous acts of men, so that those acts will be binding on earth and in heaven. To seal is to ratify, to justify, or to approve. Thus, an act which is sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise is one which is ratified by the Holy Ghost. It is one which is approved by the Lord, and the person who has taken the obligation upon himself is justified by the Spirit in the thing he has done. The ratifying seal of approval is put upon an act only if those entering the contract are worthy as a result of personal righteousness to receive the divine approbation." They are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, which the Father sheds forth upon all those who are just and true. That from Doctrine and Covenants, section 76, verse 53. If they are not just and true and worthy, the ratifying seal is withheld. Even if a person progresses to the state of near perfection in which his calling and election is made sure, in which he is sealed up unto eternal life, in which he receives the promise of eternal life, in which he is sealed up unto the day of redemption, yet with it all, these great promises are secured only if the performances are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Close quote. As Elder McConkie explained, mere performance of an ordinance has no binding effect. While the physical acts are necessary and can act as important spiritual catalysts in our lives, void of the sealing power of the Spirit, they will be of no effect in the life to come. In the Doctrine and Covenants, the Lord revealed this role of the Spirit in great detail. It says, quote, all covenants, contracts, bonds, obligations, oaths, vows, performances, connections, associations, or expectations that are not made and entered into and sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise are of no efficacy, virtue, or force in and after the resurrection from the dead. For all contracts that are not made unto this end have an end when men are dead. Close quote. That from Doctrine and Covenants, section 132, verse 7. Elder McConkie demonstrated the role and responsibility of the Holy Spirit of promise by illustrating a specific instance in which its power and effects must be felt in the life and worship of all of us. He said, quote, the operation and power of the Holy Spirit of promise is best illustrated by the ordinance and contract of baptism. An unworthy candidate for baptism might deceive the elders and get the ordinance performed, but no one can lie to the Holy Ghost and get by undetected. Accordingly, the baptism of an unworthy and unrepentant person would not be sealed by the Spirit. It would not be ratified by the Holy Ghost. The unworthy person would not be justified by the Spirit in his actions. If, therefore, he became worthy through repentance and obedience, the seal then would be in force. Similarly, if a worthy person is baptized with the ratifying approval of the Holy Ghost attending the performance, yet the seal may be broken by subsequent sin. These principles also apply to every other ordinance and performance in the church. Thus, if both parties are just and true, if they are worthy, a ratifying seal is placed on their temple marriage. If they are unworthy, they are not justified by the Spirit, and the ratification of the Holy Ghost is withheld. Subsequent worthiness will put the seal in force, and unrighteousness will break any seal. Close quote. Having the ordinances performed by the power of the Holy Spirit of promise is a personal process, one that occurs as the Holy Ghost weighs and determines the righteous intent of our hearts. Elder Melvin J. Ballard, former member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, discussed the intimate nature of this act. He said, quote, we may deceive men, but we cannot deceive the Holy Ghost, and our blessings will not be eternal until they are also sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Ghost, one who reads the thoughts and hearts of men and gives his sealing approval to the blessings pronounced upon their heads, then it is binding and of full force. Close quote. As with other personal processes in the gospel, there is no definite timetable as to when the Holy Spirit of promise will seal our priesthood ordinances. As we seek for these blessings, praying earnestly for them, and living our lives in righteousness, we will invariably begin to feel the effects of the sealing power of the Holy Spirit of promise. Elder D. Todd Christofferson, in the April 2008 General Conference, talks about the gradual change that will come.
You may ask, why doesn't this mighty change happen more quickly with me? You should remember that the remarkable examples of King Benjamin's people, Alma and some others in the Scripture, are just that, remarkable and not typical. For most of us, the changes are more gradual and occur over time. Being born again, unlike our physical birth, is more a process than an event. And engaging in that process is the central purpose of mortality. At the same time, let us not justify ourselves in a casual effort. Let us not be content to retain some disposition to do evil. Let us worthily partake of the sacrament each week and continue to draw upon the Holy Spirit to root out the last vestiges of impurity within us. I testify that as you continue in the path of spiritual rebirth, the atoning grace of Jesus Christ will take away your sins and the stain of those sins in you. Temptations will lose their appeal, and through Christ, you will become holy as He and our Father are holy.
That's Elder D. Todd Christofferson. Once these changes are experienced in our lives, the Holy Spirit of promise has sealed an ordinance as legitimate and efficacious. The spiritual joy that results can be immense and lasting, providing us with additional power and strength to keep the covenant that has just been sealed. Elder James E. Faust, in the April 1989 General Conference, talks about the joy following a sealing.
I wish to say a word about the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the sealing and ratifying power of the Holy Ghost. To have a covenant or ordinance sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise is a compact through which the inherent blessings will be obtained, provided those seeking the blessings are true and faithful. For example, when the covenant of marriage for time and eternity, the culminating gospel ordinance, is sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, it can literally open the windows of heaven for great blessings to flow to a married couple who seek for those blessings. Through its enjoyment, such marriages can come rich, whole, and sacred. Though each party to the marriage can maintain his or her separate identity, yet together in their covenants they can be like two vines wound inseparably around each other. Each thinks of his or her companion before thinking of self.
That's Elder James E. Faust. President Harold B. Lee interpreted the Holy Spirit of promise as performing yet another function. He explained that it is surely by the power of the Holy Spirit of promise that righteous acts are sealed up to be revealed once the great and final books are opened. In explaining this role, he reasoned as follows, quote, "I shall inject here another phrase that is oft discussed and I think is misunderstood, and to which we should try to attach some mysteries. This phrase, where the Lord directs that all these things are to be eternal, is, must be sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Let me refer to the 76th section of the Doctrine and Covenants. Speaking of those who are candidates for celestial glory, the Lord says, they are they who received the testimony of Jesus and believed on his name and were baptized after the manner of his burial, that by keeping the commandments they might be washed and cleansed from all their sins and receive the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands, and who overcome by faith are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, which the Father sheds forth upon all those who are just and true," close quote. That from Doctrine and Covenants, section 76, verses 51 through 53. In other words, baptism is only efficacious and the initiatory ordinance is applicable when it is sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. We have that same phrase repeated in section 132, verse 19, "For the Lord is speaking now of celestial marriage." Now, with that in mind, let me refer to two other scriptures. In the 20th chapter of Revelation, John said, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works done in the flesh." And in the 128th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, "And the book which was the book of life is the record which is kept in heaven." That from verse 7. Now, who is the keeper of the record in heaven? I ask you to think about that. Close quote. Though the Holy Spirit of promise may succeed in sealing our righteous acts and ordinances above, it is possible for our subsequent actions to strip the sealing of its efficacy. President Joseph Fielding Smith spoke of the effects of unrighteousness on the power of a sealing. Quote, "One of the great blessings available through the Holy Spirit of promise is that all of our covenants, vows, oaths, and performances, which we receive through the ordinances and blessings of the gospel, are not only confirmed, but may be sealed by that Holy Spirit of promise. However, that sealing may be broken by unrighteousness. It is also important to remember that if a person undertakes to receive the sealing blessing by deceit, then the blessing is not sealed, notwithstanding the integrity and authority of the person officiating." Close quote. As with all spiritual matters, the fruits of the Spirit cannot exist in unrighteousness. This is a principle that applies to feeling the influence of the Spirit, as well as experiencing the sealing of a covenant. Elder Dallin H. Oaks in the October 1996 General Conference talks about spiritual worthiness.
It is important to remember that the illumination and revelation that come to an individual as a result of the gift of the Holy Ghost do not come suddenly or without seeking. President Spencer W. Kimball taught that the Holy Ghost comes a little at a time as you merit it, and as your life is in harmony, you gradually receive the Holy Ghost in a great measure. The blessings available through the gift of the Holy Ghost are conditioned upon worthiness. The Spirit of the Lord doth not dwell in unholy temples. Even though we have a right to His constant companionship, the Spirit of the Lord will only dwell with us when we keep the commandments. He will withdraw when we offend Him by profanity, uncleanliness, disobedience, rebellion, or other serious sins. Worthy men and women who have the gift of the Holy Ghost can be edified and guided by inspiration and revelation. The Lord has declared that the mysteries of His kingdom are only to be seen and understood by the power of the Holy Spirit, which God bestows on those who love Him and purify themselves before Him.
That's Elder Dallin H. Oaks. If we are righteous and if we are mindful of the power and reality of the spiritual process, then the sealing power of the Holy Spirit of promise can be a profound blessing to us as we continue along the path to our Heavenly Father's presence. From the April 2008 General Conference, Elder D. Todd Christofferson encourages us to endure.
Then, as promised, the Lord baptizes us with fire and with the Holy Ghost. Nephi phrased it this way, "For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost." Having thus relied upon the merits of Him who is mighty to save, we are quickened in the inner man, and if not yet fully born again, then certainly well into the path of spiritual rebirth. Now the Lord cautions us to take heed, since there is a possibility that man may fall from grace, even those who are sanctified. As Nephi counseled, ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life.
That's Elder D. Todd Christofferson. Thank you so much for tuning in to radio.lds.org and for listening to another edition of the Mormon Channel's Q&A. If you have a question for us here at the Mormon Channel, you can send us an email. Our email address is radio@ldschurch.org. And if you'd like to download this episode of Q&A, just go to our website, radio.lds.org. And thank you so much for listening to the Mormon Channel.
You've been listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A on radio.lds.org.